harmonize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday at 1700 hours Pacific Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange. I strive to take a neutral standpoint during the dissection of the topic at hand. That's Reality Extraction with Mr. Rowe on Revolution Radio.
Oscar's freeze. That's your cerebral cortex looking for an answer it doesn't have.
See? Even your brain knows you're screwed.
The blood is filling with adrenaline right now. Whether you know it or not, your heart's beating fast. It's getting a little harder to breathe. The neurobiological system is telling it to run, but your knees are too weak to move.
Fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is near insanity. Now do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice. We are all telling ourselves a story.
Listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. 100% listener-supported radio. Reporting the danger. Unafraid. Right here, where information never sleeps. Revolution. Radio!
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
TalkStreamLive.com, TuneIn, Shoutcast, Winamp, Accessify, Open Radio App, Accessify. Did I say Accessify? I may have. Oh, TalkStream Live, man, that's a good place to go. TalkStreamLive.com. Of course, you can come down to Revolution Radio, down to the website, and join us in the Chatsy chat room. I'm going to head over there right now. I see a few people in there. There's Nice Guy from New Zealand and Nick and Mitchell and AR185162, Conk Girl and Deviant and Mitzi and Jim Bob and Luna and Dirt and 3D and Walther Mauser, Bon and Cat Dog Girl. There's Dude Guy and Greenheart One, Joanne, Shermanator and ZYZZXX. There's Boy Solomon and the Monster 383 and Comet and Stardust Man and a Mad Painter, Wally and Daku and Jet 99 and Drivefly Guy and Mitzi Lou and my name's Sammy Malia May Street 139. There's the RT Doctor Reverend Doctor Mr. Rowe. Yes, there's the Omega Logos, the Pleasant Pheasant Plucker 2, and Batsman and Popsicle Toes, and the Surrey Sunflower, Jer Bear, Or Green. Yeah, we got to view more. Let's see, where were we at? Or Green, right? Choppy Water and Howl 9000, Vanessa Mania and the Dirt Engineer, and Not Much to It. I see Pack just left from down Australia that way, along with Doc Who and Brian Rue and Larkin, Texas, and Randolph and Noreen, all here in the last 15 minutes or so. So come on down and join us at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio. It is the Trump Assassination Files. You know, isn't this like the biggest story of the 21st century? The political assassination of a candidate, a president-elect, and then President Trump. And then after 4 years of continued investigations, the witch hunt against President Trump continues. It's not enough that they fortified and fornicated all over the erection, or you call that an election, I guess, because they, and I mean Mark Elias and his evil accomplices that essentially stole the vote. We're finding that out now, but you won't hear about it too often cast in an honest light by the mainstream media. What you will hear is the mind control media will keep repeating it is the most secure and the pristine election, you know, this most perfect election of 2020. And it's just a load of effing bullshit. We know it is. The world knows it is. Hell, the world knows that Joe Biden isn't qualified to wipe his own ass, let alone carry around the nuclear launch codes. Oh, Christ, on two crutches, the idiocracy of the world that we're living in. It is unbelievable. Let's see, before I get going here, oh, I may have started already. Did I say the call in and listen line? You can call in and listen to Revolution Radio Studio A and Studio B. So, yeah, call in, catch Studio A at this number on your smartphone, unlimited minutes. Remember, these are your minutes. Apply 518-906-1839 for Studio A, 1-859 for Studio B, 518-906-1839. You can call and listen at your convenience. And don't forget those archives. You can go and within about 24 hours, this show will be loaded to the archives. Yes, and there's some really good shows in those archives. All of the different Revolution Radio hosts. And if you want to hear one of my, well, radical rants. Yeah, go back to June the 8th. Was that when that was? A Tuesday. Yeah. It was a crazy time. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's get into the show. This is talking about the political assassins that went after President Trump. Now, there are rumors afoot that John Durham is going to come out of the woods somewhere up there in Connecticut or Massachusetts or who in the hell knows where John Durham is going to pop out in an orifice somewhere. Hey, you ever notice we're still waiting for John Huber to pop out of somebody's ass somewhere and says, I'm here. I need my money now. Yeah. yeah. For what? You didn't do anything. John Huber turned out to be one of those cover-up artists. He should be indicted for obstruction. I mean, it's absolutely just horrendous what we saw happen to Donald Trump as James Comey tried to blackmail the president of the United States, the president-elect, with this fake dossier, this rumored, cooked up by Christopher Steele and paid for by the Democrat Party in a roundabout way using lawyers Which, well, you know, when you're hiring foreign nationals to interfere with a presidential election, I guess there's one thing for sure. You better be bringing the lawyers. Because, you know, you're committing high treason and you're knowingly do it. And then you have accomplices in the Obama administration and accomplices at effing bastards incorporated. And let's not forget the Injustice Department, where you had snakes in the grass, more like turds in a bush. Yeah, that's a better description of our government. Yeah, they're not upstanding bureaucrats. They're more like turds in a bush. Yeah, don't forget Robert. Yeah, Mueller the turd, the number three man, the number three in his name, right? Robert Mueller the third. Yeah, remember Robert Mueller the third and his team of crack investigators and cyber sleuths and hack Democrats. Where is the little list? I've got the whole list of the plot and scumbag sons of bitches here in front of me. Should I just go ahead and name them? Should I just go ahead and name all of the sons of bitches that attempted to overthrow President Trump? Here, let's go with Robert Mueller the turd and some of his team. Of course, the Mueller, Zebley and Weissman and Van Grack and Ree and Quarles and Prelogger and Meisler and Jed and Goldstein, Deben and Atkinson, Andres and Ahmad, and let's not forget good old Zelensky. And there's other pieces of the team like Jason Alberts and Robert Gibbs and Jennifer Edwards, old Sherry Aaron Beatty, yes, and others. Man, I'm telling you, that was a gold star class of horses, asses that are so politicized, they exemplify what is wrong with our fucking government. Period. That's just the truth. Some more on the list of the traitors that tried to take down Trump. Of course, Hillary Rotten Clinton. And her husband, the first rapist, William Jefferson. And let's not forget the senator from Virginia. That's right, old Tim Kaine. Oh, gosh, John Podesta, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and Donna Brazile. Yeah, there's three clowns for a basket. Huh? Let's not forget Glenn Simpson, the hand-picked contractor of the DNC, Hillary for America, paid through by Perkins Coie. Of course, Glenn Simpson, Fusion GPS. Let's not forget Christopher Steele. Christopher Steele, a foreign national paid for by these dead assholes, right? Oh, let's not forget Daniel Jones. You know who Daniel Jones is? Daniel Jones, after the Mueller report, you know, failed to find anything, Daniel Jones was given $50 million. $50 million by Democrats and Democrat-led organizations and probably those gay pedophile activists over there at the what was that, the Log Cabin campaign over there run by those neocons that are loving children, or should I say they're grooming young aides. You know, hell, they're doing the Bill Clinton thing. It's just they're grooming young boys to molest. I mean, you know, hell, in today's society, you know, hey, you know, people, the LGBTQ community seems to be happy that now they're including pedophiles in their, well, their thirst for perversion. son of a bitch. Let's not forget Cody Shear. Cody Shear also wrote a parallel dossier and coordinated with, that's right, Christopher Steele. Christopher Steele, the British spy, hired by the Democrat Party and Hillary Clinton through back channels using Perkins Coie as a, well, paymaster for their dirty deeds into Fusion GPS. And then I guess they just figure if they can launder the money through enough places, nobody will give a shit. So Cody Shear had another dossier. I mean, you didn't realize, and many people don't. Many people are still saying, oh my God, you know, the Steele dossier, you know, 17 memos, 35 pages, out of 166 God dang memos. That's right. Of the Steele dossier stuff, you only saw a little piece of cherry-picked bullshit. 166 memos, and you didn't see shit. And Steele and his accomplices of this traitorous scumbag, they deleted their own emails. I believe it was, is it Jonathan Weiner or Jonathan Moffa? Or was it John Moffa? I'm not sure, but one of them was in conspiracy with Christopher Steele, and they deleted the emails on their own government system at the Steele's request. And remember, Steele then was allegedly under contract with the FBI. The FBI said he was a spy, a confidential human source. Steele said, well, I could never be that because why? Oh, I know, because I work for Her Majesty's service. And if I actually became a spy for another country, that would make Christopher Steele a double freaking agent, wouldn't it? Son of a bitch. Where was I? Oh, yeah. Part of the Get Trump by any means necessary team was, of course, Mark Elias and Perkins Coie Law Firm. They helped orchestrate and be the paymasters. Clear evidence from the testimony that Adam Shit Diaper kept hidden in the basement of the Capitol building for 3 years. Remember that. Adam Schiff hid the testimony of 26 people, and these people, some of them in public, claimed, we know the evidence, we had it, we testified about it, blah, blah, blah. And well, under testament, under oath, they didn't know anything except they hated Trump and they had Trump derangement syndrome. And Adam Schiff says, by golly, that's good enough for me. Just can somebody get me a diaper? Can somebody get me a diaper? That's Adam Schiff's favorite petty freaky. Let's see, Robbie Mook. Why is Robbie Mook deeply involved in all this? Because Robbie Mook was the liaison communicating with Fusion GPS and Christopher Steele from the news reports that I have read. Michael Sussman, Perkins Coie lawyer, taking information from Steele and sending it into the government, I think the State Department and the FBI and the Justice Department. These guys put a full court media press on every different agency within the government in their attempts to smear Trump because it was everywhere and everybody knew it. So it must have been real. This is effectively part of the strategy that they used. You call it, a swarm of propaganda. And they hit all these different government agencies at the same time. And they had many willing accomplices, not just those who, well, obstructed justice, but those that knew it was a lie and turned their head and held their nose so they could say, well, I didn't know. You know, it's just plausible deniability shit. We know Christopher Steele had his own little team going on. We know he had a partner with Orbis Business International and Orbis Business something or another. It was another branch, similar thing. And all they did was trade on information, and they used those companies to launder the money. So Christopher Steele and Christopher Burroughs, Nellie Orr, the wife of Bruce Orr, and Eric Baumgartner, and Bruce Orr. Bruce and Nellie Orr met with Christopher Steele for, well, to collect information like they were spies for the CIA, and then taking this information and then putting it into the hands of the FBI. This is after Christopher Steele had been determined to be a, well, a politicized bought source. Let's not forget some of these others that were involved. Let me get another list out. Let's go over to the FBI. Okay. I mean, who in the FBI was actually involved in all of this? And not only that, but the cover-up and the damage control afterwards. I know I only got 4 minutes to the break, but we'll see what we can get in. Of course, James Comey and Andy McCabe, Pecker Wood, Pete Strzok, and the lover, Lisa Page. Let's not forget William Pricedep III, who turned his head and looked the other way. Let's not forget Baker. James Baker and Trish Anderson. Let's not forget James Rybicki and Mr. Coleman. Let's not forget the current effing bastards incorporated obstructor, Christopher Ray Ray. Let's not forget Pete Strzok's partner, Joe Paquita. We have an agent of the FBI that was supposed to be the handler of that lard ass from Northern Virginia named Stephen Halper. We have Gaete and Moyer and Sambe and Trainer and Maffa, all FBI that are essentially pieces of the plot to get President Trump. I'm saying it. If they don't like it, they can suck my ass. I care about the truth, not the lies pushed by the mind control media. Don't forget the dossier physically passed to David Kramer. Let's not forget that. And what was John? I'm trying to remember who the other guy was. There was two or three people met with Sir Andrew Love, or Sir Andrew Wood and Sir Richard Dearlove. And they were told about the dossier and these allegations by Steele that was this alleged gold standard, platinum-edged spy. It turned out later that all that was a lie that was built up to. But Kramer brought the dossier to John McCain. John McCain was actually going to blackmail Trump with it. And instead, he turned it over to the FBI. And to his surprise, the FBI had more than what old John McCain was giving. Yeah. Let's not forget Traitor 44 and Barack Obama. Joe Biden and Susan Rice and Samantha Powers, John Kerry and Cahill and Rhodes and McDowell. Yes, and a part of the Obama circle that knew about Hillary's attempts to smear Trump with Putin stuff and then actually promoted Hillary's lies as if they were, well, real. How should we say it? As if they were real. What do we got? Less than a minute here. Let's see. How much money have they spent doing this of government money? We know Mueller spent $40 million. And we know Daniel Jones got a nonprofit foundation, $50 million. $12 million from the DNC. $1 million from Stephen Halper, just paid. And don't forget, 290 days of consecutive investigations, about $145 million. Yeah, so since the price tag rises as we get in going. All right, we'll be right back. Station promotions are rolling right now.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. And we'll be right back after this message.
Be evasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
And Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. And there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came and unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
No, that's right.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
If you think for one second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back! You can torture us and bomb us, fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us!
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope.
We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Yeehaw! Welcome back. It's these Trump assassination files telling you about the plot to get Trump. It's the biggest political scandal of my lifetime. Hell, you know, I was only a few years old, 9 years old, I guess, and I was youngin' when Kennedy got killed, so I really don't remember that. But I'll tell you, you know, I'll remember the political assassination of Donald J. Trump by the United States government. I sure in the hell will remember that for the rest of my life, and how the FBI cannot be trusted, how the federal justice system is a joke. It's a rigged jig. You might as well be going up there with the KGB and having a Soviet show trial. You actually have a better chance. A lot of that's because the prosecutors and the judges are pretty much on the same bench. And then you have these politicized judges who are, well, let's just say they break the law. They don't bend it. Can ask General Flynn about Judge Rudolph Contreras and his old replacement. Was that Judge Emmett, what was his name, Smith? Oh, hell, I don't even know anymore. I have to go back and refresh my notes. It's so much information. I'm sure I have it somewhere here. But we're talking about the plotters that were, we can see, that were involved in the political assassination of Donald J. Trump. We know at the CIA, we know at the upper levels of the intelligence agencies, we know that James Clapper knew and was involved in all of this. We know Gina Haspel was the station chief in London and, you know, in charge of these special projects run by who? John O'Brien, the crack in America, commie Muslim CIA leader. Gina Haspel was his little number two bitch in the field. That's why she was nominated, you know, to be, you know, the HMFIC. At the CIA, she's a cold, heartless. She do whatever she needs for the team. Remember, it was Gina Haspel who personally burnt the tapes, the torture tapes of the CIA victims, put on and destroyed them themselves against, well, a congressional subpoena and congressional order. I mean, this is how much rule and law really doesn't matter here in the United States when Haspel and these other people commit the highest crimes against the office of the presidency and they have a willing Democrat Party, and the Democrats were their essential accomplices, along with the mind control propaganda media that we have today. You will never hear this. You will never know that the Five Eyes and foreign nationals were all involved up past their eyeballs in the efforts to get Trump. We know at the Justice Department that then Attorney General Loretta Lynch and her then subordinate Sally Yates, who was acting Attorney General under Trump, who Trump had to fire because she's worth about as much as tits on a boar hog. She's so far to the left, she's on her side. Actually, she's so far to the left, she's come around to the Reich standard. Yeah, that's where leftism is today. I mean, they think, you know, the socialist communist government of Cuba is good. The big lying Marxists, the BLM, who don't give a shit about black lives because, you know, they never seem to appear when, you know, blacks are killing each other. Hey, that's all right, man. As long as not a white cop over there involved in it, we don't care. Just, you know, bang, bang, as long as you need. Yeah, assholes. It's just all about money. And, you know, the worst part of it, them and KKK, Klantifa, those pussies in black that gave up the white robes. And, you know, hell, they probably wear rainbow underwear under their black hoods and their black clothes. So they all, you know, appear to look the same, and they all can't be arrested because, oh, who can identify one person in a mass of black crowds of people? That's what they count on, just like the Klan. They'd always run in within their anonymity. Is that what the word I'm looking for? Yeah, I think it is. Bruce Orr, number three or number four, however you want to look at it, highest civilian, one of the highest two civilians in the U.S. Justice Department, in on the scam. Rotten Ride Rosenstein, Trisha Gower told, I think it's John Tokas, Loftman and Carlin and Margolis and Evans. Yes, Axelrod and Huber. I mean, really. I mean, who's going to look at the Clinton Foundation and say, oh, yeah, everything's up and up? You know, that's how you know. You know, you got the Clinton Foundation all those years in New York, and, you know, they were like untouchable and committed all these crimes, the same crimes they're trying to go after Trump for. Who else we got here? The U.S. State Department. Yeah, let's not the U.S. State Department, right? Like Victoria Nuland and Kathleen Kavlak and Jonathan Weiner. Good old Otto and Williams and Lukens and Dribble and Finer. Just a few, just people that are documented to be involved in the official obstruction of Donald Trump's presidency, aka the conspiracy, not only to get Trump, but to hamper and destroy his presidency. Now, we also have, remember the Trump Tower meeting that Betinel and Skaya and Katskiv and Argalov and Kavalegas and arranged by this Rob Goldstone and funded by William Browder. Remember, William Browder is a former agent of the United States government who used orphan children to steal money and then smuggle it out of Mother Russia without paying, you know, the 40% excise out of the country tax on the money. That's why the Magnitsky Act, the, you know, this this ban of adopting children and stuff. That's where all that came from. The CIA was using it to launder money, and they're blaming it on old damn Russia, them sons of bitches. It's the crack in America, assholes. Well, this particular asshole, William Browder didn't want to pay federal income tax to the Internal Revenue Service, which I personally can't blame him. But hell, he stole the money from Russians. $30 million. So the CIA wanted him to pay this money to make it legal money. And he said, oh, no, I'm not paying, 50% to the government on $30 million. You crazy. So he says he renounced his U.S. citizenship, and now he's living in the U.K. I don't know if he's a muck, just goes down there along the river and mucks, I guess, half the day. But, yeah. So they tried to entrap Trump's team. Let's see, who was there? Manafort, Trump Jr. I think there was one or two other Trump people there. And they wanted to try to entrap these people in some kind of, I don't know, Russia thing. Remember, everything they were doing was tying back to Russia. And now Ventanalinskaya was playing this Russia card, later about all this. So it's a hell of a thing. What else we got going on here? Oh, let's see. We got a couple categories left here. I'll save the best for last. How's that sound? How about the private contractors involved in all this, like CrowdStrike, Perkins Coie, Infusion GPS, Orbis Business International, and Orbis Intelligence Limited, Haculet and Company, Bean LLC, Wallingham Training Limited, and the Penn Quarter Group. These are some of the private contractors involved at different levels of this, well, this effort to politically assassinate the President of the United States of America and neutralize a populist movement that is trying to take the government back into the hands of the voters and out of the hands of the Democrat and party elitists, these federalists that really believe that they rule over, the people. The Democrat and Republican parties have effectively divided the people into two camps for the most part. And what's happening is that the polarization and the divisions, as they're getting deeper and more entrenched, there is a crack happening in our country, and our government is pushing it. And it's with these politicized prosecutions of the Get Trump, Trump Derangement Syndrome people that are in the U.S. government. We had foreign nationals involved in this whole little mess, and nobody wants to talk about them, like Christopher Steele and Alexander Downer, Erica Thompson and Joseph Mifsud, Eric Baumgartner. There's Danchenko and Trebinkov. There's Burroughs, there's Kilmanick, there's Browder, there's Dearlove, there's Wood, there's Nader, there's Bettina, there's the Five Eyes Intelligence guys, it's Derek Pasca, there's Sergey Milan. That is just an incomplete list of the foreign nationals involved in this plot. And when, John Durham's report comes out, if it doesn't have a lot of these names or almost all of these names in it, it's just going to be a fucking incomplete whitewash. Excuse me. Let's see. Fired, demoted, quit. Comey and McCabe and Strzok and Page and Baker and Yates and Axelrod and Pristep. Coleman and Steinbach, Rabicki and Brand and Camel and Campbell and Cortan. Trisha Anderson and Carlin and Yates and McCord and Loftman and Orr. Kadzek and Axelrod and Scott and Kleinsmith. These people resigned or quit the government, left the government. Oh, and what happened? Because then the government could not question them without having a grand jury and a subpoena issued for a private citizen. As long as that person is not attached to the United States government, there's pretty much not a damn thing that the inspector general can do except to smile and say, oh, shit, oh, well, there it is. Now, one of the other categories that I was saving for last, of course, is the spy list, right? Stephen Halper, Azra Turk, and Joseph Mifsud were instrumental in attempting to set up George Papadopoulos and, at the same time, Carter Page. Don't forget Christopher Steele's. It worked in a spy fashion. Alexander Downer, Australian, and Erica Thompson. Erica Thompson tried to honeypot, you know, George Papadopoulos, just as Azra Turk did. I guess one's a blonde and one's a brunette, and they were trying to, you know, trying to figure out what he liked in a hot woman. Yeah. Let's not forget Henry Greenberg, who tried to sell the Trump team Russia-related stuff. He's a 10-year informant for the FBI. He just happened to do that in April. Yeah, and then they say they got wind of this in June or July, and here it is, April, FBI informants trying to set people up. Kirk Bell, same time frame, yeah. Netan Valenskaya, she acted as a spy for William Browder and the CIA. And don't forget, she met with Glenn Simpson of Fusion GPS before and after the Trump Tower meeting. Let's not forget the folks that were one of the folks that was with her, Ramet Askin. Then there's Felix Sater. Yeah, he has nicknamed himself, you know, calls himself the quarterback because he's in there trying to wheel and deal and maneuver everybody around as he tried to do in the Trump Tower, Trump Moscow Tower deal. And that where all that controversy and all that testimony, that's where that come from. And it dried up and dribbled away because Felix Sater is another 10 to 15 year government spy. And then you have one of the people that got caught up in Ukraine, Konstantin Kilmyk. Yes, Kilmyk, how should we say it? He was involved in the Black Ledger that was allegedly kept by Paul Manafort, an alleged document, that paper document, that showed these off the payment books and stuff. When Kilmyk testified for Robert Mueller's probe that there was no such thing, that it was a falsified document created by couple Democrat operatives in coordination with the Ukrainian embassy in Washington and the Ukrainian embassy in Kiev. And that the embassy in Kiev was tasked with putting together these false documents, which sooner or within a few weeks turned up on the U.S. 702 intel system, where by convenience, this female. I'm trying to remember her name. She directed Nellie Orr to go there and get and said, look at what is going to be coming. Pay attention. Keep checking what's going to be coming out of Ukraine. And she's, you know, basically a heads up for the Paul Manafort Black Ledger, which was completely false. That was in the spring to try to springboard this appearance of Donald Trump. Remember, they did a full court propaganda press of everything at the same time through every orifice the government had. These are some of the people that ended up being spies in the middle of it. I don't know if Kilmanick, what he did was was anti-Trump, trying to set Trump up or not. I think he just got caught up in it because he was tasked by the Democrats. God, what's that woman's name? Victoria something or another. I remember it. On the spy list, okay, we have a Russian mobster. Deripaska. This guy was an attempt to recruit this guy by Joe Paquita, Pete Strzok, and another agent in New York. They gave him a special visa to come to a UN economic conference, and this was word that was related through, I believe, Nellie Orr or Bruce Orr into the hands of the government. And the FBI then was trying to recruit him to get information, of course, negative information about Trump peeing on the bed with the prostitutes. It is believed that the Russian mobster was supposed to supply said prostitutes that said, look, yeah, Donald Trump paid me to pee on him on the bed. Yeah, that's the kind of shit that these people, that the FBI tries to manufacture. Of course, that's Bruce and Nellie Orr. They're on the spy list because they took information secretively and passed it in and out of the government. Sir Richard Dearlove and Sir Andrew Woods, of course, they were peddling the anti-Trump dossier to members of Congress. I wouldn't think that's highly legal. Let's not forget H.R. McMaster. That's right, Trump's replacement for General Flynn, who effectively bent Trump over and screwed him till his eyeballs popped sideways. It's a sad state of affairs, but H.R. McMaster was a mole for the deep state. Of course, Sally Yates acted against Trump's orders as Attorney General. Rod Rosenstein, going to wear a wire. Browder paid for the Fusion GPS Trump Tower setup deal. And that's confirmed with Perkins Coie and I believe a $500,000 donation. Let's not forget Carter Page. Carter Page, well, he was suspected to be a Russian spy. But what do we know? He's an American spy. He's a spy for the CIA. And the CIA is involved in the plot to get Trump up past their eyeballs. There's probably, 12. There's 15 more. I got another list here. There's about 20 more spies to go through, and we're not to the top of the hour yet. Now, where in the hell did that other list go? I'll find it in a second. But let's not forget George Nader. He was supposedly an informant for Robert Mueller, but it turns out George Nader was into, well, Middle Eastern farm child pornography with children in sexual positions and such with, children having sex with animals or in some kind of silly position. I mean, 6-month-old children that could barely walk.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Be evasive. But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
In Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, and there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
No, that's right. Yeah.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Today is 6 p.m. Eastern, right here on Revolution Radio.
I will defend myself against their tyranny. Number 3 is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne, and I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in defense condition one. As we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in, and I ask that you join me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for the Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
We shall never surrender.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution Radio.
All right, let's show them what we got here.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Yeehaw! Welcome back. It's the Trump Assassination Files, the one and only show I know that pounds away on the political assassination of Donald J. Trump. by the United States government, by Hillary Clinton and her gang of demo rats. Ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing the overthrow of democracy, a rigged 2020 election where Democrats are effectively controlling many of the levers, not of who votes, but who counts the votes. That's right. Democrats are cheating the old-fashioned way, the old Stalin way. He don't care who votes. He only cared who counted the votes. That is part of the Democrat mantra today. But remember, they took over the government long ago, and it's not the Democrat Party. It's not the Republican Party. It's that evil political cabal, and they're mostly the professional parasites that people keep electing. Like here in Virginia, our senators here in Virginia, Tim Kaine and Mark Warner, two political power turds of the Democrat Party. We elect Republicans who go to Washington, D.C. and join a gang. They elect Democrats and they go to D.C. and they're in their gang. So all those voices controlled top down by some drunk ass Botoxed bitch from California, Nancy Pelosi, or under McCarthy or McConnell. Or Schumer. You don't elect people to go to Washington and join a gang. You elect people go there to oversee and administer the application of our government, to be effectively the managers of our government, and to control the bureaucratic system. Not to take it and use it and weaponize it against the people and any politicians that they may or may not like or may not stand against. So Revolution Radio Freedom Slips.com, the Trump assassination files, tracking down the dirty scumbags that work to overthrow the president and usurp democracy in America. I stopped at Jordan Ray Kelly. That's his name. He was one of those cyber experts that spied for James Comey on the Trump team from the inside of the Trump presidency. You want to talk about high treason? I mean, they were tapping Trump's communications. How in the hell do you think they had 126 leaks in the first 125 days or some stupid outrageous number? Because the CIA, the FBI, the so-called resistance within the government, which, you know, that's just treason, isn't it? Is it resistance to your civilian leaders in government? Isn't that just freaking treason? Sons of bitches. Anyway, call the listen, 518-906-1839 for Studio A. And Stephen, Factor 3, they couldn't make it tonight, so I think there's PCs that crashed. God bless him. I hope he gets back on. Studio B, 518-906-1859. Yeah. What else we got here? Well, let me think. The Revolution Radio Archives. Check them out. Download the Revolution in the Morning Show and listen to it and take it to your liberal friends and watch them melt like snowflakes in hell. One of the memes I saw this week on Twitter, It was a snowball landed in hell. Of course, it had Biden Harris on it. And he said, look, a devil standing there. Oh, look, a snowball in hell. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, let's get back. Let's get back to the list. Back to the, how should we say it? Back to the list of spies that spied on Donald Trump, you know, along with the other list of however many people I just named off a few minutes ago. And I want you to know and understand these are not by all means all of the people involved. For every person I'm naming, there's anywhere from 3 to 7 to maybe 10 people that I don't know about that is in that chain of custody of the information or within that department, maybe an assistant and 2 assistants or something along those lines. Yeah, because we don't know the depth of the organizations that they use to cover up the paperwork. Maybe that's the best way to say it. So the next person on my spy list is a guy named Tawil, T-A-W-I-L, Twil. He's an Israeli who tried to snag up George Papadopoulos with $10,000. And they met in Israel. They flew to Cyprus, where George gave the money to his lawyer, and he told the guy, well, I don't know yet, but he held the money there. When he got back and flew back into the United States a day or two later, the FBI was essentially waiting for George Papadopoulos and effectively shook him down looking for the $10,000 in the setup by this guy. And this was George Papadopoulos and others theorize that this is Andrew Weissman with the Mueller team attempting to create a crime and then get Papadopoulos hooked up by a federal crime by setup by any means necessary, right? And this is how these cocksuckers work. Okay, who's next? Patrick Burns and Maria Bettina. Listen, Patrick Burns admitted he worked as a spy for the FBI in a what is kind of referred to as a reverse honey trap on the Russian agent Maria Bettina that had infiltrated. That's right. Remember the NRA. Anyway, she was introduced or was encouraged to be introduced to Republican presidential candidate campaigns. And Patrick Burns got those orders from the FBI. Now, I would really love to know if John Durham actually gave a rat's ass and tried to find out, well, if they actually tried to set up those Republicans using a known Russian agent. And did they warn the Clinton campaign about Bettina and not the others? If no, that's clear crime there by the federal government. That's clearly, you know, this all is clear, such a setup, and nobody, you know, everybody's, oh, yeah, we all knew it was all the time. Well, then send these sons of bitches and these motherfucking knuckers to prison. That's right. Send them to prison. Jonathan Weiner was the one that was working with Christopher Steele. And then on Steele's request, deleted all the emails of all the information that he had fed this guy. Let's not forget the name that cannot be mentioned on the mainstream media, and that's Eric Ciaramella. You can't say that name of that little rotten weasel scumbag piece of shit, CIA, NSA, zit. Yeah, he's about, you know, like a zit, you know. Yeah. Or he more like a boil. Yeah, a boil on Adam Schiff's shift. Yeah. Oh, gosh, man. These guys are like crooks, man. So, you know, if you think about it, Eric Ciaramella, who acted as this whistleblower, there's also two names that should be tied in on this list of mine with the spies, okay? And that one, of course, is that fat-ass Vindman, V-I-N-D, Vindman. And what's that guy's name? Other guy's name, Mark. I'll think of it in a minute as I talk about it. Anyway, Eric Ciaramella. And this guy, Mark something or another, I believe, was his name. We're talking about how to take down Trump. And remember, if you go back and look, I encourage everybody to look and verify what I'm saying. If you go back and look at the testimony of that fat-ass, traitorous Colonel Vindman, and he said he essentially wrote a script and all the talking points that Trump needed to talk about to the Ukrainian president. And Colonel Vindman read this list as he wrote it, not as Trump spoke it. And he said, this indicates that there was a conspiracy. It was the talking points that Vindman wrote were the damn conspiracy. Sad fact that people don't want to admit. We have a guy named, I think it's Terrence Dudley. And there's another guy named Baker that worked out of the London mission at that time, I guess, for the CIA, the NSA, the black hats, the white hats, who in the hell knows hats. All we know is they were entertaining, maybe is a good way to put it, George Papadopoulos, and having meetings with him. He thought they were from the DIA, Defense Intelligence Agency, but evidently they were from Gina Haspel and the CIA. We have Trebinkov, who was essentially one of Steele's secret sources, who worked for one of Steele's other companies, who's a former Russian intelligence officer. Yeah. Yeah. Of course, Stephen Schrage. That's that lard ass from Virginia, Stephen Halper. This was his supposed FBI handler. Okay. This is a guy that's supposed to be keeping track of Halper, as Halper got, what, over $1 million in contracts. Plus, he took money on the side from other places. Yeah. Yeah, Halper's real work, isn't he? So Schrage, and let's not forget Danchenko. You know, Danchenko was involved in this and up to their eyeballs, and he was given cover by Fiona Hill. That list, four pages, whatever they were, they're all people that acted in a capacity as a spy for this cabal that was neutralizing Trump. We know they're a bunch of crooked, sorry sons of bitches. 59 of the 96 phones assigned to the Mueller probe are missing. And GOP senators demand answers. Hey, how long's it been? these dipshits in governments, a year and a half later, they said, oh man, hey, it's time, man. We need to get these things. It's been 2 years, right? Or whatever. It's a joke. It's a joke. And all of the people that were on the special counsel's team, I talked about them earlier, all those people that failed to turn in their phones with all the information intact on them, every one of them should be charged with multiple for every document that is essentially lost. They should be have one count of obstruction of justice in the administration of government. Let's not lie to ourselves. Every one of these people, you know, their phones, many of them wiped their phones. They deleted all the content on their phones the day before the special counsel was going to look at them, and they were due to be sent off to the special counsel. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when 20 or so lawyers get together and knowingly delete all their phones and information, just hours, essentially, one working day ahead of when they must turn those phones over to a legal authority that will check their notes and information. That's because they all know that they're a bunch of crooked sons of bitches, and every one of them should never have a law license, and they're barely qualified to pick up dog shit in the street. In fact, San Francisco is looking for a few good scoopers. And I believe the FBI and the CIA is loaded with shit scooping talent because, well, clearly they can find a pile where there is none. Sad truth of the world that we live in. We know the FBI commits perjury. It commits negligence, and people pay for it. And then they commit crimes covering it up. The FBI's latest faux pas was they allowed Olympic gymnasts to get sexually abused by some asshole. Yeah. Good old Nasser. It was a year and 2 months. More than 40 girls and women abused by Nasser. Yeah. And the FBI perjured themselves and lied about it. You know, why, you know, these sons of bitches should be forced retired. And hell, in all honesty, maybe they should be, give up their rights to own a firearm. Because they sure are, how should we say, dirty cops, if you ask me. We know that January 6th was a setup. We know that it was a Reichstag-type false flag. That was subconsciously admitted by General Milley, that gay, lesbian, crackhead, four-star suck-ass. When he said that, that's not what he really meant. He meant it was the real Reichstag, that the people in power, that the Nazis, AKA the Democrats, the National Socialists, they had a false flag on the Reichstag and they blamed the Polacks. Okay. Well, I guess the Patriots are the new Polacks, as the government is blaming it on them. Of course, this is essentially all a setup. And here's a tacit admission by Michigan Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirky, caught on camera telling the truth. about January 6th. Hopefully this is loud enough. Let me check. Yeah, we got it.
Why wasn't there more security?
Yeah, there was 30 guards out back there.
It was ridiculous. It was offstage.
You think it was D.C., the mayor influenced?
I think she was just a public.
Yeah.
I think it was kind of high.
How does that?
Mitch McConnell was part of it.
I was going to say.
He was the one that was part of the decision-making how much security they have on stage. I think they wanted to have a mess.
I know they wanted to. There's no other explanation.
The moment, like.
But they wouldn't have had a mess with you guys. They had to have also recruited this other group of people. Okay. And then I do believe, because I don't know if you guys have been caught up in it or not. When you're in mobs, you can get caught up in emotion.
Oh, yeah, I was ready to go.
You can get caught up in emotion.
Especially when you're getting tear gas and flash.
Some folks probably just got caught up in the emotion.
Well, they had a guy with a loudspeaker up on that tower. There was a tower in the middle of everything in the back. And there was a dude on a loudspeaker hanging everybody on, telling everybody what to do, like, reinforce this side, reinforce that side, like, they're going through over here. It was definitely something to behold.
I'm sure it was fantastic to watch. Good, fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, it was unbelievable.
Really interesting, yeah.
It was,
I'm glad I was there.
It was a surreal moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, because I didn't see someone get arrested. I didn't see anybody punch a cop. I didn't see anybody, a cop, punch a person. I want an answer.
What did she do to get
shot? She was breaking through a window, but I'm...
But in every other barrier, when people started to break through the barrier, they just got out of the way and let them go.
Yep.
Why in that one case, that one person who never showed his face?
Also, there was a lot of people behind her. How?
Yeah, that's true, guys. That's true. But let's remember, you know, this is a true false flag, a true Reichstag attack. How do we know that? Here's another piece of evidence, whether you know it or not. Remember those pipe bombs that were put outside the Republican National Committee? Yeah, remember that deal? Well, that pipe bomb at the RNC and the DNC, they were discovered, and the U.S. Capitol was two of the buildings were evacuated. Two of the congressional buildings were evacuated. Remember, that's only a few blocks from where the pipe bombs were found. So, you know, if the pipe bombs would have actually went off sometime in the morning, that would be been some crazy shit. But then Capitol Police, Stephen Sund, said in a joint hearing before the Senate Rules Committee and Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee Tuesday afternoon, that resulted in the evacuation of two congressional buildings, the Cannon House office building, as well as the one of the Library of Congress buildings. So it took extensive resources, I guess, to clear those buildings. And that's another reason they said, well, we didn't have the people there. I said, look, no excuse. Okay. Look, there's no excuse. Okay. Just like this prosecutor scumbag. Yeah, the lead scumbag in the federal prosecution against Hunter Biden's so-called taxes waited until after the election. Remember, they had the, now listen to this. Weiss began the probe as Joe Biden's son in 2018. And by last summer, was ready to issue warrants and subpoenas. Now, remember, if you're talking about 2020, is that the summer of 20? Yeah, the summer of 2020. Remember, they got the Hunter Biden laptop at Effing Bastards Incorporated. Remember, they got, I hit my thing here, my mic here. They got that laptop in December of 2019. And that had just the evidence handed to you. The lies of President Biden are exposed. and have been exposed multiple times. And the quid quo pro and the well, let's just call it the governmental blackmail, so the bastard's little son could do something more than blow art. Yeah, it's some damn idiocracy, isn't it? It really is, this world that we're living in. It's stupid on steroids. Hey, who knew they could put stupid on steroids? But what did they do? Uh-oh. Yeah, I know what they did. They put them in office. Knee pad Harris, and let's not forget the rest of the crew. We'll be right back.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
I go home, people ask me, hey, Hoot, why do you do it, man? Why? Some kind of war junkie? I won't say a goddamn word. Why? They won't understand. They won't understand why we do it. They won't understand it's about the men next to you. That's all it is.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, number one listener supported radio, the printing press for freedom at a time when freedom is needed the most.
Hi, Karl Marx here. I am all seriousness today, my friends. There is this show you must not listen to. The Ultimate Remedy with this guy, LB. This guy has figured me out. I hear it on Tuesday, and he is telling the truth. I mean lies. Stay away from this guy. Where's my good hairbrush? Anybody see my mama?
Want to learn more about the Marxist agenda and other important stuff? Listen to The Ultimate Remedy with L.B. Bork, Tuesdays, 6 p.m. Eastern, right here on Revolution Radio.
I will defend myself against their tyranny. Number three is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
Well, we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne, and I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in defense condition one. As we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in, and I ask that you join me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
We'll never surrender.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
So what?
All right, let's show them what we got now.
right, thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Yeehaw! Welcome back. It is Trump Assassination Files. Of course, you know, all around the United States now, it seems to be, they are finally having forensic audits of the vote, of the November 2020 vote. Yeah, they're 6 months too late, a dollar too short, and but we have to figure out how they cheated, where they cheated, and hold some sons of bitches accountable. Two people that I listen to, and I like their procrastination of all this other stuff that's going on. Yeah, Viva Fry and Robert Barnes. Here's what they had to say about the updates on the audits and separating fact from fiction.
Irrelevant. What's the meaning? What's not the meaning? Set the people straight, and everyone can call you biased and whatever after your assessment. Inform the people.
So currently there's audits in Arizona. There's an audit in Fulton County, part of Fulton County. There's calls for audits in all of Georgia, all of Wisconsin, and all of Pennsylvania. There's an audit likely moving forward in Pennsylvania by the state Senate.
What's the scope of the audit? What does the audit include? What does it exclude?
Really everything that goes to the counting and canvassing of ballots that should have occurred the first time, in my view. So it's looking at who did only constitutionally qualified people vote. Did they only vote by a constitutionally qualified method? And doing the count and canvass in a constitutionally qualified manner according to the original state legislative rules. So it's double checking the machines, double checking the paper ballots, double checking the voter registration rolls, double checking all of the procedures whereby people were considered legal voters, cast a ballot, and how that ballot was counted and canvassed. According to state legislative rules rather than outside of state legislative rules. And so, like, for example, in Maricopa County, a preliminary report from the audit is that there were a lot of ballots that were cast that have questions concerning them, either because of who cast the ballots or because of something about the ballots themselves. And so now where there has been, I'm all in favor of audits because they increase transparency, public confidence in the electoral process. They identify flaws in the process. They expose those flaws for remedial action, legislative or executive. They keep the public informed throughout the entire process. And they can lead to legislative reforms and can lead to political change down the road. Where there's been some confusion is there's some people out there who think that the effect of the audit can be a decertification of presidential electors and that can lead to the change in the presidency. There's people who think that it can change who's in the Senate or in the House, and they're mistaken.
Okay, so and before we get there, because I know what Nick Riccata said about it, but first things first. Apparently from the audit, your Apple ID phone, I just got a pop-up from Apple on my screen. I don't know if anybody saw that. Apparently the audit has revealed some anomalies, but the extent and the meaning of these anomalies have yet to be assessed, I guess. Duplicated ballots, the totals not matching the certified totals. Explain what that means to ignoramuses like myself and whether or not it's relevant at this stage or what it could mean at a later stage.
So what they've preliminarily identified, and again, it's not final, not conclusive, not verified at this stage, their preliminary identification is that there are people who cast ballots who were not registered at the time they cast ballots. There are people whose ballots were cast, but then later were recognized that they shouldn't have been able to cast ballots. And then there are a bunch of ballots that themselves don't appear to have been lawfully cast ballots based on the nature of the ballot.
Do we know numbers on this?
As well as some other issues about whether the machines caught things in a timely manner. Tucker Carlson went into detail about that in Georgia. Now, the hand recount likely resolved that problem. There's some questions about that. But the point of this, and that's where I've been emphasizing to people, the point of this is not changing the presidential election outcome. The point of this is to figure out what happened and how we can make sure it doesn't happen again if there were problems and how to correct them and remedy them and increase public confidence in the elections. The context of – sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, do we know the number? Because I saw this is going back
to – different ballots in different categories. The one that a lot of people talk about, 74,000 ballots in question is to one category. Then there's, you know, 16,000 in another category, so on and so forth. If people are wondering, are there more ballots in question than the margin of victory in Arizona, the answer is yes.
Okay, and now this brings us to the second question. First of all, Jim Sciuto, someone is saying, you know, the big lies that people are believing now, that the audit has shown anything relevant. I thought, you know, that is an oversimplification to the point of being fake news, and that's what they do. It's not going to change anything, and this is something you have mentioned. We've discussed it, but this is your knowledge, not mine. From day one, from before we were not even allowed to discuss this on YouTube, you said there is no changing the outcome with respect to the presidential election. Now, is that the same as relates to senators? Because I understand there's a legal distinction.
Yeah, there is, but it's rarely consequential. So for people to understand, basically you have a limited time frame whereby you can set aside the results of the presidential election. The same is true, though it's a different timetable with some different rules depending on the state, for the Senate and the House. But in both contexts, once it's done, it's done. And the only remedy after that is impeachment. There is no decertification of electors. There's no callbacks of electors, recall of electors. That ship has sailed. And to give people an example, this often comes up in the political context. So for example, various of our constitutional amendments were certified by the archivist, whoever the Congress gave. At different times, Congress gave different people the authority, but ultimately it went to the archivist, who's the head of the Library of Congress. And if that archivist said this amendment has met the constitutional standard to now be part of the Constitution, it was immediately declared thereafter. That was a legally binding decision that cannot be contested or challenged. People try to challenge this in the context of a bunch of different amendments, but particularly the 16th Amendment, where they documented that there was good evidence to believe that it actually, the archivist had made a mistake, that it had not met the constitutional requirements for passage. The courts made clear, we're not getting near that with a 100-foot pole, because then we have issues with the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th, and we need it to be final at some point. And we're just going to say, once the archivist makes a declaration, it's final. It was my argument with a Hollywood director, is one of the big loopholes in the Constitution, is that technically the archivist could probably declare himself king and disband Congress because he has the final power to declare what's in the Constitution by saying what amendments have passed. So theoretically, I remember that this Hollywood director believed some crazy stuff. He was like, oh, that's way too crazy. That can't be true. I was like, that's one of the things that is true, not all the crazy stuff you believe. But he was sitting there on his bed while he's doing it. So it was a crazy scene. But you had like people coming in. So because of that, they don't know. That's one example. Another example is Congress. Congress or state legislatures will pass a bill, and later there'll be arguments that there was fraud in the passage of the bill, that there was misleading, that the House didn't count the vote right. And the courts have been clear, we're not touching that. If the Speaker of the House, whoever the designated official is, says that bill is passed, end of story. We don't look past it. We don't look beyond it. And so the same is true for federal elections for the most part. There's certain very limited circumstances in which House members or senators, there can be an issue, but that is generally determined by the House and Senate itself. Same issue. And generally expulsion standards are required. And generally those expulsion standards are usually 2/3 of the relevant House or Senate. And I also don't encourage people who think it's a good idea to open up that can of worms to just start recalling people on grounds that they didn't really get elected. You think about who has the power and how likely that's going to be used for you or against you down the road. So I don't encourage that line of thought anyway, but there is no legal authority. Anybody telling you recall, whatever, that's purely a symbolic vote that they're talking about. There's no constitutional authority for that to have any constitutional consequence.
All right. Well, there it is. Short and sweet with Robert Barnes. Let's see. Michigan election bombshell come out July 14th. Dominion contractor election source breached machines. Yes, during the election. Of course, we're looking now and understanding that, you know, the Georgia Secretary of State explains why just now that they're discovering more than 10,000 illegal votes cast in 2020. Yes, in Fulton County, people that were, weren't really legally registered, voted, and then showed up on the voter rolls later, even after a court had deemed it to be illegal and unconstitutional. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. The truth that nobody really wants to say is that, well, it almost lasted 2 hours. The truth that nobody wants to say that not only are these people that voted or registered late weren't ineligible to vote, and their votes don't count. I don't know if they can even know who they voted for. They can find their ballot in the mass of ballots and searching for a specific list of names. Anyway, remember, 35,000 Georgians had indicated they had moved from one county to another county more than 30 days before the November general election, which means that they had 30 days to register at their new polling stations, and it was illegal and against state law for them to cast ballots where they had previously lived. Also, we're not thinking about the nursing homes. Yes, if you look at the nursing home turnouts and see how they went from 25% to 75 to 95%, you will find people harvesting the ballots of invalids and dementia patients, who some are even elected to the highest office, the presidency of the United States of America. Yes, what other news and stuff we got going on here? Yes, the White House has admitted that it has been working with Facebook to censor certain individuals and certain speech on Facebook and other social media platforms. We knew this already. We really did. It's clearly obvious that it was and that they had. And that, what's the best way to say it? That they're trying to claim that they're censoring in the name of the public good and the public health, when they effectively become, you know, George Orwell's big brother, as I like to call him now, mother big motherfucker. That's the government that we have today. It's no longer big brother. It's big mother effer. Coming out of the Arizona audit, Cyber Ninjas is saying that they found so many issues with the voting machines and the processes in Maricopa County. It's a wonder that previous auditors didn't find these issues too. That's because they don't look for them, you dipshit for brains. They have a set goose standard. They get all of everything and they squeeze it through the machines. And if they don't have the close to the right numbers, they'll find some ballots to run through again. Or, you know, they just manufacture. Arizona had 75,000 more ballots, mail-in ballots, than were allegedly sent out. Now, there's some people say that about Pennsylvania, but that's not true. Pennsylvania sent out a shitload. I believe more than 3 million mail-in ballots. Not the 1 point sum and got 2.3 or whatever it was back. No, those numbers were misquoted. And by, I think, by Rudy Giuliani, and that's, they become folklore. Just like hands up, don't shoot. You know, or as the cops hitting the guy on the head said, don't resist, boom, don't resist, boom. Yeah, they lowering the boom, all right. What else, another information we got here? Oh, yeah. Let's see, we talked about the White House censoring all the other shit. Now we found out about Pegasus Project. And the Israeli firm and other governments that are effectively tracking everybody who is somebody will pay to track, whether it's a private corporation, a spy, a government, an individual. I mean, let's be honest, if you got enough money, you know, you can pretty much spy on anybody you want. And there's plenty of companies out here who are willing to either sell you or even put that application into operation for you. Now, this this latest episode proves again and again that the United States government and other governments around the world that are working together to have a one world government are spying on everybody else. And, you know, it's their own little cabal. Actually, their big ass cabal. We can help fight them. Yeah, we can. They know it. That's why they're scared shitless. Because while they can get people to join the Republican or the Democrat Party or some other party, their biggest fear are millions of independent activists, not under one tent and one group controlled and maneuvered and hijacked and ripped off and screwed, blued and tattooed. No, a million independent voices raising the hell and bringing the truth. That's the world of the activism that we need, not the controlled astroturf that we see today. I was an unreal statement by Homeland Secretary Mayorkas, telling Cuban refugees, true refugees fleeing Haiti and Cuba by boat, that they will not be given refugee status. They even warned the flotilla of boats that say they're going over towards the Cuban, let's just say the edge of their territorial waters, and they're going to hang out in a 200 or 300 boat flotilla. Yeah, I guess they're just hoping, you know, they'll be able to bribe their way in, just like they did in the Muriel boat lift. Next thing you know, it was, you know, wow, it was a mass exodus. Of course, the mayor of Miami is begging Biden, hey, can you drop some bombs on Fidel Castro Jr. loser over there? Can you wipe out their... you know, have them call an emergency session and then take out the whole thing. You know, get all the snakes in one pit and burn the pit. I don't know. All I know is that Cuba is true communist hellhole. And if anybody deserves refugee status, it's them. It's not the, you know, the Mexicans coming to mow lawns and paint houses and put on roofs. You know, it's not the MS-13 gangbangers that, you know, are bringing their whole crew and moving to the United States because, well, you know, it's just easier and cheaper. And, you know, it's a lot of fresh territory here to take over if you're a violent crook. Yeah. Can you believe our Homeland Secretary? And I don't know, are they going to confirm that dickhead at the ATF, Chipman, who lied about the Waco and the helicopter being shot down and all this other stuff? I mean, look, you know, this guy's so full of shit, his eyes are brown. I bet he's still wearing diapers. Ah, these people can go suck two eggs to Sunday. In fact, 2 in 3 Southern Republicans want to secede from the United States of America. Hey, got a newsflash for you. You better add in most of Pennsylvania, most of Ohio, certainly West Virginia this time, certainly most of Virginia. I don't know about Maryland. Maybe the eastern part of Maryland would be its own little commie moron nation. They could call it Baltimoron land. But yeah. So it's crazy. Of course, the left coast, California, Washington, Oregon, you know, they're beyond hope. And, you know, maybe the San Andreas will give them an awakening or not. I don't know. But we know Idaho and Montana are being taken over by the rich white trash that's fleeing California because it's become such a shithole. People move from the city, they move out to the country, and their neighbor is a pig farmer. Next thing you know, they're saying they got to shut down the pig farm because they can't stand the smell. You bought the land beside it. You know, it's like a, it's like a homeowners association. But I guess in this case, you would call it a hog odorous association. You bought it. You live with it, dickweed. I mean, these woke people are just gullible schmucks. Hey, did you hear about what's happening over there in the UK? Yeah, it's Freedom Day. Yeah. Hey, they're out there beating freedom protesters and freedom lovers with clubs. Ha ha! That's the idea of freedom. Freedom under the club. Isn't that special? Oh, my God. I mean, what in the hell is the matter with these people? They know London's the cocaine capital of Europe, pretty much, or is that Brussels? Ah, pretty much one of the same. No, I better not say that. Those Londoners gonna get mad and upset. But, you know, over there in London town, over in the UK, they got Woke-a-Coke. That's right, Woke-Coke. No, not the drink. They got environmentally sourced cocaine. That's right. You know, it came from a clean source, not kids and sulfuric acid, you know, stomping on it all day. You know, they turned that over just because, you know, they ran out of kids because their feet kept getting eaten up. And that was okay because they couldn't run away, but they couldn't walk very far either. So they couldn't process a lot of that cocoa stuff. It's just horrible. But Woke Coke sells for 4 to 5 times the price of normal Coke. I mean, it's just expensive and stupid. And how in the hell would you know the difference?
Listening to Revolution Radio.
Still out there?
You're going back in? There's still men out there. God. When I go home, people ask me, "Hey, Hoot, why do you do it, man? Why? You some kind of war junkie?" I won't say a goddamn word. Why? They won't understand. They won't understand why we do it. They won't understand it's about the men next to you. That's it. That's all it is.
Revolution Radio. Freedomslips.com. Number one listener supported radio. The printing press for freedom at a time when freedom is needed the most.
We'll be right back. This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption.